God so loved the world. Amen. Aren't you glad he did? We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning and part of this teaching today. But why don't you stand this morning? It's good to have all those on Facebook Live. God bless you. Good to have our Now Network family watching today. God bless you. We're so glad you're here all around the world. We just thank you for letting us impart the grace message into your hearts and lives today. Why don't you turn, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs 4, verse 7. Proverbs 4, 7. It's going to begin this today and talk a little bit about wisdom. Amen. Wisdom, the Bible says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get what? Get understanding. Amen. So wisdom is a principal thing. And everything that we do, the Bible says, we are to get wisdom and get understanding. Let's hold up our Bibles today and let's say it like we mean it. Come on, say it, Pastor. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you turn around to somebody and say, you have the wisdom of God in you. Amen. Isn't that awesome? You do. You have God's wisdom residing in you this morning. In the absence of the knowledge and God's wisdom, darkness will prevail. In the absence of the knowledge and God's wisdom, darkness will prevail. This is what's going on in the world today because there's an absence in the world of the knowledge of God's word and God's wisdom. And so it seems like there's a lot of darkness that's prevailing around the world today. Amen. But God's word, knowing God's word, gives us and places us in a position of authority over darkness. Because God's word is God's wisdom. And when you know God's word, you know the wisdom of God. Amen. Asking God for his word of understanding is a proper response when you're in a situation that you really don't know how to get out of that situation or you don't have the answer for that situation. So looking into God's word is the proper way to address it, overcome it, and get out of it. So if we want God control over everything in our lives and walk in the victory he has for us, then we've got to understand, amen, that we're more than just human beings. You have the super placed on your natural. So you have supernatural in you. Hallelujah. And God wants you to draw off that supernatural, his wisdom, for any situation you face. We need the wisdom of God operating in our lives on a daily basis. Amen? Not a monthly basis, not a weekly basis, but we really need God's wisdom operating on a daily basis in our lives. Amen? And what a difference it is. You know, if you have two people that are standing on a same scripture, and have you ever noticed that sometimes the results are different? One seems to get the answer and the other person doesn't get the answer. Have anybody ever noticed that before? They're standing on the same scripture, but one gets the answer and the other doesn't seem to get the answer. I want to tell you what the difference is. The difference between one is they're standing on a written word, and the other is standing on a revelation word. In the revelation word is the wisdom of God. Not that this person standing on the written word cannot become or go over to a revelation word, but many times we're standing on the written word but don't have a revelation of what's in the written word. Does that make sense to anybody? But it's in the revelation of God's word that we receive the wisdom of God for everything that we have that pertains to life and godliness. It is the revelation word where the light comes on. So The written word is a logos. The term is logos in the Greek. The logos is written. The logos would say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I can stand on that word every day and it really wouldn't affect me. It affects me when I have a revelation that God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son. When I understand that, then I stand on that revelation word that makes a difference in my life and gives me the wisdom of God and imparts the wisdom of God to me. Does that make sense to you guys this morning? So there's a word behind the word. There's the written word that we have, and then there's a revealed word behind the written word. You can say, by his stripes we are healed. And it can be a written word to you, and to you, all of a sudden, it becomes alive in your heart, and it says, by his stripes I am healed. Y'all, hello? Let me give you an example. Over in Matthew 16, 13, Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am, right? And all of a sudden, Peter answered in verse 16, he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He asked this to all of his disciples. Some said this, some said that. But Peter stood up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And look at verse 17, how Jesus responded to him. Listen to this. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood, near natural understanding has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Having that revelation changed Peter's life, and speaking that revelation out changed the other disciples' lives. Because when you have revelation on something, you have God's word on something, you know it for a fact, it changes your situation every time. Hallelujah. What Jesus said essentially to Peter, he said, you did not pull that knowledge from your own mind, but it came straight from the Father himself. Amen. Straight from my Father, he revealed this to you. Revelation knowledge is wisdom knowledge. Amen. When you have a revelation, listen to me, when you have a revelation about a promise of God, you can never be defeated in that area. You can never be defeated in that area. When you know in your knower that God said and what he said is for you, you will never experience defeat in that area of life. And there is a way to position yourself to receive revelation knowledge or wisdom all the time. How many want to receive that all the time? Amen. And there's something that you've got to have a basic understanding of, and I'm going to get to that in just a moment. First of all, you must have a hearing heart. You've got to have a hearing heart. Amen. You can't stop at simply reading the word. You have to approach God with an open Bible and a prayerful spirit. Because when we understand this and we know this, and we hear from God, all of a sudden, we start reigning in life as God intended us to reign. God intended us to reign in this life. And we reign in life off of the revelation knowledge that we acquire and have and is revealed to us through grace by Jesus Christ and by his Spirit. How many want to reign in life? I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm raining already. Turn to somebody and say, I'm raining already. So most of the time, frustration towards God is the result of not understanding something or not knowing how to proceed in a particular situation. But wisdom is knowing what to do when you don't know what to do. Wisdom is knowing what to do when you don't know what to do. I don't know about you, but I want that wisdom operating in my life, because there's times it seems like I don't know what to do, but God reveals by his word to me how to do it, how to accomplish it, and how to take care of that situation. The Holy Spirit is our guide and speaks to you through your inner man, through your spirit man. The voice of the Spirit now is your conscious voice. You can trust your conscience now because it has a root in Jesus Christ and in your inner man. Amen. It's a new creation. Praise God. So when your conscious mind speaks, don't ignore it. I'll just flip it off somewhere. Oh, you know, that's just that pepperoni pizza I had the night before or something, right? No. Amen. When you get a hunch to do this or that, don't ignore it. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. Not the voice of emotions, but the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because during decision times, the enemy will press your emotions to make a decision. Amen? So we don't want to be pressed by our emotions to make a decision. We want to be moved on by the Holy Spirit to make the right decision. Because your emotions can lead you wrong, especially under pressure. And boy, does the enemy like to get up on your emotions when you're under pressure. And he wants you to make a fast decision. But God's wisdom always, always says, slow down a little bit. Listen to my voice before you pull the trigger. Turn to somebody and say, if they only listened to me, I could have saved them a bunch of heartache. Man, have I told people that before, amen? So listen to me this morning. When we understand who we are in Christ, that we are God's son, and we have a definite revelation of who we are, we can dominate in situations instead of letting situations dominate us. One of the principal things that you've got to understand, the very first thing you need to know, that you and I are sons and daughters of God. That seems like a basic thing, but so many people don't even have the revelation of who they are, who they belong to, what they have inside of them. And when you know what you have inside of you, who you belong to, amen, you are an overcomer and not being overcome. Amen and amen. Praise God. Sonship is not limited to one gender. Turn to somebody and say, women, turn to somebody and say, that's a good thing. Amen. The Bible says God made man and women in his image. So we have equality in sonship. Hallelujah. Sonship is not limited in that area. Turn to Hebrews this morning, 3, 5, and 6, because I want to talk to you about having the wisdom and the basic principle of sonship this morning. The revelation of being a son of God. It is so imperative, guys, that you get this morning. Hebrews 3, 5, and 6. And Moses indeed was faithful in all of his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterwards, right? But Christ as what? As a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Moses was a servant, and the people under the law were also servants. The law today refers to performance-based Christianity. So wherever the law is preached and accepted, it is based on performance as a servant and not a son. But by comparison, Christ is a son. And those who are in Christ no longer are servants, but are sons and daughters of God. So once we understand the revelation of sonship, we can walk in the love and authority that the Heavenly Father has given us. And when you know, and you know, and you know who you are, amen, you just have such peace and authority knowing that you're no longer a servant, but you're now a son. God will never break his covenant with his sons and daughters. Never break his covenant with his sons and daughters. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit, amen. So no matter if you mess up, I want to tell you, he still loves you the same. Glory to God. Aren't you glad? Amen. I mean, there's such power in understanding the revelation and the wisdom of being a son and daughter of God. Christ brought us from being heirs, apparent heirs, And we can now inherit all the promises of God. There's a difference between an heir and an apparent heir. Creation is waiting for us to acknowledge our divine identity as sons and daughters of God. Romans 8:19. Look at this. I love this verse of scripture. Romans 8:19. All of Romans 8 is a great chapter. There's a reason, because it's a chapter being led of a sonship life under the Spirit of God. And listen to what he says here. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly is awaiting for the revealing, the manifestation of the sons of God. We talked about manifestation last week. God is waiting. What creation is waiting, what the world is waiting for, is the manifestation of the sons of God. That everywhere we go, there's going to be such manifestation of who we are in Christ. Why does that make such a difference? Because when you know the revelation of who you are in Christ, there's such manifestation and power that goes along with that, that you have the ability to change any situation you face. Hallelujah. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave power. Power. Turn to somebody and say, you've got power inside of you. Power of a son, power of a daughter residing inside of you. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. King James says the power, the right to become the sons of God. Amen. You have the power to become the sons of God, even to them that what? Believe on his name. We have received the privilege and the right to be called the sons of God. Man, that's who we are. Turn to somebody and say, we are just like Jesus. Servants do not have the same privilege as sons. Galatians 3:27 through 29. Galatians 3:27 through 29. Look at this. Galatians 3:27 through 29. Amen. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Hallelujah. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs. Everybody say heirs. Heirs according to what? According to the promise. We have become heirs when we got or came into Christ. Our identity is now by faith. Amen. We are heirs, not heirs apparents. We are heirs, not heir apparents. An heir inherits everything he has right now. An heir apparent has to wait on his inheritance. It hasn't come yet. But you and I are not waiting on our inheritance. You and I now have all the inheritance of Christ right now at our disposal. Everything he has, now you and I have in Jesus Christ. We have peace, we have power, we have prosperity, we have health, we have healing. Everything that he has, we have. That's why John says, as he is, so are we in this present world. As Jesus is, we have that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwelling in you and me this morning. Wow, not a different spirit, the very same spirit that can change any situation you're facing. Turn to somebody and say, isn't that some good news this morning? Hallelujah. See, I've just got to back up here. There's so much chaos going on in the world right now. How many know there is just, if you listen to anything out there, it's just gone crazy. Come on. Has anybody, I've lived in this life 40-something plus years. 40-something plus years, right? I have never seen such a crazy mixed up world right now. It is a crazy mixed up world. What's going to change? Listen, I am very optimistic. What? Pastor, in all this, you're optimistic. I am optimistic. Because where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. Amen. So no matter how bad it seems out there, grace is going to abound over everything that is in opposition to his church. Do you realize, as sons and daughters of God, we are part of his church family? Do you realize the Bible tells us that the gates, the very gates of hell, shall not prevail against the church, shall not overcome the church? And what we need to do is get such a revelation of who we are. We are not helpless this morning. We are not without this morning. We are not falling back this morning. We are actually overcoming. And when we have a revelation of who we are in Jesus Christ today, you will stand up on your feet. You will be accounted for. You will not be afraid to speak the truth, even in adversity, because you know God is with you. Amen and amen. God has got your back, hallelujah, and you have the prevailing wisdom of God. The Bible says when he even drags you before the magistrates that you will have God's wisdom in your heart and you will know how to answer people. Why is that? Because you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit in you, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is the best advice giver that ever was on this earth. Come on, somebody, give him some praise. This is not a time to cow down and just say, oh my goodness, let's throw our hands in and give up. No, we are the body of Christ, blood-bought people, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, sanctified, set apart to change the world. We are the light of the world and the salt of this earth. We are to make a difference in everyday life wherever we are. Don't be afraid to open your mouth and speak truth. Whew. Hallelujah. Man, so many times we just get intimidated. Don't let the enemy intimidate you about anything. Amen? The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Turn to somebody and say, God's going to take good care of you. No, turn to him with some confidence and say, God is going to take care of you. Turn to somebody and say, God's going to take care of your family. God's going to take care of your career. God's going to take care of your job. God, listen to me, God is going to take care of this government because we're going to act on what God tells us to do. I want to tell you something. God doesn't call wimps into Christianity. God calls men and women with some fortitude and some backbone. Amen? And when you know what you have in Christ, it's like, what? Bring it on, man. Amen. Because we just get so burdened down by, oh, what's going on in this world? What's happening? What's going to take place? Where's my career going to go? What's going to go on with my family? Your family's going to be all right. Baby, I got grandkids. I'm going to tell you, my grandkids and my son-in-laws and my daughters and my family and my great-grandchildren are not here yet. They're going to be fine. Why? Because I have an inheritance in Christ, and it doesn't just go to me and to Holly and stop. It goes from generation to generation to generation. So you know that your family and your kids are going to be fine. You can release them into this world and know that God's protection is around them, and you've trained them right. And when you train them right, you know that they're going to go into the way of the Lord. Amen. They may drift a little bit, but grace always brings them back in. Amen. They may go this way for a little while, but grace always brings them back in. You see, you can't outrun the love of God no matter where you go. You can make your bed in hell, and God's love is right there with you. You can ascend to the highest mountain, and God's love is right there with you. Hallelujah. What was I talking about? Man, praise God. Amen. It's amazing to me how shook up this world seems to be, and even Christians right now. Don't let the enemy intimidate you during this time. Oh, what are we going to do about the Supreme Court? You know what? I believe that Supreme Court's going to be already be filled, and it's going to be a good thing. what are we going to do about this? What about the election, Pat? What about this? You know what? I'm just going to reign with peace in my life. I'm going to let peace be in my spirit. Amen? I'm not going to let anything get into what God has already given me. Oh, man. Hallelujah. Galatians 4, 1 through 6. Galatians 4, 1 through 6. Hallelujah, man. This is so good, Lord. Now I say that the heir, turn to somebody and say, that's you. As long as we were a child or he is a child, differs not at all from a slave. As long as he might be an heir, but as long as he is a child, he's not going to get the inheritance yet. How many understand that? Isn't that pretty simple? He does not differ any more from a slave, though he is master of all. This is why you need to have a revelation of God's grace operating in your life and get out of the law-based theology. Because the law-based theology keeps you as a child and not as an heir. Though he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Guardians and stewards. This is how we were when we were under law-based theology. We were under this taskmaster. We were slaves to a do-it theology instead of a done theology. Great difference, church. So even so, when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world. Next verse. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, look at this, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the full adoption as sons. Hallelujah. The Greek word for child there is someone unable to inherit. A mature son is ready to inherit. Under the law, the Jewish people were spiritual infants and were not able to inherit everything God had for them. But Jesus brought all believers into sonship, amen, ready to inherit. How many are ready to inherit? Praise God, man, amen. Jesus came to deliver us from being children and make sonship available to us. Adoption here in the Greek, it's a really interesting term because when we think of adoption, we think of a small child, that we're adopting a small child. But what this says in the Greek, that adoption is a full-grown age. It's being full-grown age. In other words, being fully grown, able to receive all of the promises of God. In other words, we are born of God and we are born again in a new creation possessing his DNA in our spirit, man. Amen. Wow. Let me put this up in the Amplified, Galatians 4, 1 through 3. Let me read this in the Amplified. This is good, man. I just get this. Amen. To purchase, now what I mean is that as long as the inheritor heir as a child and underage, he does not differ from a slave, although he is the master of all the estate. But he is under guardians and administration or trustees until the date fixed by his father. So we Jewish Christians also, when we were minors, were kept like slaves under the rules of the Hebrew ritual and subject to the elementary teaching of a system of external observations and regulations. The do-it-yourself center. Oh, it's one down here, isn't it? Dave, don't you work for that place? Where's Dave at this morning? Where you at, brother? There you are, brother. He works at the do-it-yourself center because you got to go in and you got to do it all yourself. There's work involved in doing it all yourself. How many know that? How many like to have someone else do it for you? How many know when someone else does it for you, it's a lot better? Right? Especially if they do it right. Right? Amen. Man, I tell you, it's so much better. God has done it for us. But when the proper time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born subject to the regulation of the what? Of the law. To purchase the freedom of to ransom, to redeem, to atone for those who are subject to the law, that we might be adopted fully sonship and have sonship conferred upon us and be recognized as God's son. Servants of God are not led by the Ten Commandments, or are led by the Ten Commandments. Sons of God are led by the Spirit. Servants of God are led by the Ten Commandments. Sons of God are led by the Spirit. Romans 8, 14 and 16. Amen. We do not need to look for any more rules to live by. Turn to somebody and say, did you get that? We now live by the Spirit, the very author of all the Word of God. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are who? Sons of God, amen? Look at the next verse. Praise God. For the spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, the spirit producing sonship in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father, Father. That's what we have now residing in us. That is our position in Jesus Christ. Amen. Under the law, God was the judge. Under grace, he is our Father. As sons, we do not need to fear judgment any longer because Jesus took all the judgment upon himself, which sets us free to have a great relationship with the Father, not based on what we've done, but based on what he's done. Wow, man. Now we have such power and authority residing in us because there's no guilt, condemnation, or shame. Oh, thank you for your enthusiasm there this morning. Sonship in Christ fulfills three basic needs. Let me give you these real fast this morning. First of all, a sense of identity. You no longer do not have to know and be confused about who you are in Jesus Christ. You have identity. Number two, you have acceptance. We are accepted. The Bible says we are accepted in the Beloved. You're accepted just the way, God loves you just the way you are. Isn't that an amazing thing? Amen. And then number three, we have a sense of approval. How many had a dad? Anybody have a dad? I'm glad, man, all you raised your hands. That's really good. Praise God. We say, well, Pastor, how else would have gotten here? We've all had a dad, right? How many always appreciated their dad's approval on something? Man, I always appreciated my dad's approval on something. When I did something, man, and my dad came to me and said, son, I'm so proud of you. Amen. And it didn't happen a lot in my life, but when it did happen, I was so thankful for that. Amen. He said, you did a really good job. When I mowed the yard, he said, you did a really good job mowing that yard. Thanks, Dad. Probably because he didn't have to. Right? Amen. Or when he came to me and talked to me about ball, baseball or something, I played Little League. Anybody else played Little League ball in here? Amen. I played Little League. I pitched in Little League. And, you know, once in a while, my dad get out there and let me throw. And he's, man, you really threw a great curve, man. That just made me feel so good. Aren't you glad God, Father, Daddy loves you and approves of you all the time, even when you mess up? God says he still loves you. Amen. Matthew 3:17, a voice came from heaven and says, this is my son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Listen to this. Before Jesus began his ministry, he had the approval of the Father. He walked in the confidence of being his son. Not only his son, he knew that he was loved, he knew that he was accepted, and he knew that he was empowered to be his son. And when you have that revelation, it changes everything about you. Amen? Everything about you. Being a believer frees us and makes us of the supernatural. We are, listen to me, we too have an inheritance. We are heirs with God and joint heirs, the Bible says, with Jesus Christ. We will experience the supernatural progression as we walk through this life by faith and receive our inheritance from Jesus Christ. We will experience supernatural favor as God's son. Amen? Praise God. You know, sometimes Daddy just does things for us and we don't even deserve it and we don't even know where it comes from. But he says, here, I want to give it to you because I love you. How many love favors like that? Amen. That's what we experience as we understand and have the revelation of who we are in Jesus Christ, sons and daughters of God. Amen. We will be able to go undergo supernatural change, amen, as the Holy Spirit forms us from the inside out. Supernatural change taking place, effortless change taking place as we focus on our love for God and His love for us. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Amen. God is good. Let's give Him some praise today. Hallelujah. Amen. How many are thankful for the wisdom of God operating in your life today? How many are thankful that you're a son and daughter of God this morning? Amen. Man, if you're not, it just takes you believing this morning. That's it. Amen. Believe and receive. I want you to hold up your hands this morning. And we're going to confess some things over our lives. Would you do as with Pastor? Say, thank you, Jesus. I have power within me. I have authority within me. And I have the revelation of who I am in Jesus Christ. I am a son, full sonship. Full daughtership in Jesus' name. All of heaven resides in my spirit. I have everything that pertains to life and godliness in me. And thank you, Lord, for the revelation of the anointing and the power that I have inside of me. I give Him praise today and glory today for this revelation. May I manifest His presence wherever I go. In Jesus' name, amen. While your hands up this morning, if you're here, yeah, come on, give me some praise. Amen. Amen. While your hands up this morning, amen, I just want to just take a few minutes right now. And if you're here today and you're in need of healing, we are declaring today that you are healed this morning. Amen. So you receive your healing today. You are a son. You are a daughter of God. You don't have to work for it. You just know it's already done. It's already completed. Amen. Don't take things as yours, but give them to God. Say, thank you, Lord. You took this. Lord, you bore this infirmity, and I give it to you. It is not mine. It is yours in the name of Jesus. So you receive your healing today. Amen. No matter what's going on, you receive your healing today. Jesus is your healer this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you right now. Amen. Thank you right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Someone's had a problem in the left side of your back. We declare that is being healed. Ligaments are being strengthened. You are the healed of the Lord this morning. Thank you for that, God, in the name of Jesus. Somebody's had a rotator cuff problem. We declare healing in that area right now in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Someone has been having an issue with a knee, a left knee. Man, that left knee is, we declare that healed today in the name of Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. A blood disorder, just receive your healing right now in the name of Christ. God is your healer this morning. Lord, we receive healing today. We thank you, Lord. Amen. We thank you, Lord, this morning. We focus on you. And God, we declare you are the healed of the Lord today. You walk in your healing this morning in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give God some praise right now. Amen. Turn to somebody this morning and say, I declare I am the healed of the Lord. Would you do that? Praise the Lord.